Well, happy Sabbath, one and all, and welcome to our youth and adult Sabbath school time on this beautiful Sabbath day of the 17th of January, 2015. And before we get into our lesson, we need to have opening prayer, and our dear sister Elaine will offer that for us now.
Shall we all kneel as far as possible? Our loving Father in heaven, we thank you again this day for the Sabbath day. For it helps remind us that you are our Creator, that you're the Lord, that you have made all things, even us, and that you are preparing a place for us that we may come and join you, and that you will come and get us. Father, we realize that all over the world we have brothers and sisters who we have never met, and we have others who are searching for you. Lord, we ask in a special way for you to draw close to them this day. We have brothers and sisters who have been hurt by people they've been associated with. Draw near to them and comfort them. But most of all, dear Lord, give us a forgiving heart. We know that Christ on the cross forgave those who crucified him, and we can do no less than in forgiving those who come against us. Be with us, dear Lord, now as we open your word, as we study what you have prepared, messages that you can communicate with us anytime, any way, not only by prayer, but by the written word. And we thank you, dear Lord, for giving so much for us to read, to study, and to send your Holy Spirit that he might be with us, guide our minds, guide our thoughts, and help us, Lord, to understand more than anything else that you love us and that you will help us become Christ-like in everything that we say and do. We pray this, dear Lord, in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. We're continuing in our study book, The Desire of Ages. And we're in chapter 14, that's titled, We Have Found the Messias. And we're right at the top of page 140, beginning of 140. And we left off last time with disciples being brought to Christ. And Philip went and found Nathanael. And as Nathanael looked upon Jesus, he was disappointed because he had been taught for many years, and most of his countrymen had also thought that the Messiah would come as a conquering king and thus would be in royal garments and would have an appearance just like a mighty king would have. But when he saw Jesus in the common clothes of the time, and that he wasn't rich, he was poor, and he didn't have the appearance of a conquering king, but was more humble and common appearing, he was disappointed. And he wondered, could this individual that was poor and had common clothes and his clothes were dusty, could this really be the longed looked for Messiah? And so doubts came up in his mind, but yet he just couldn't get out of his mind that this might be the Messiah. And so that's where we left off before. So we pick it up at the top of page 140. At the time when Philip called him, Nathanael had withdrawn to a quiet grove to meditate upon the announcement of John and the prophecies concerning the Messiah. He prayed that if the one announced by John was the deliverer, it might be made known to him. And the Holy Spirit rested upon him with assurance that God had visited his people and raised up a horn of salvation for them. So when these questions, these doubts came up in Nathanael's mind, he prayed to God for help, for wisdom, so that he could understand if this was really the Messiah. And when he prayed to God for wisdom, the Holy Spirit was sent to him and convinced him that God had indeed raised up a horn, a power of salvation for them right at that time. Continuing. Philip knew that his friend was searching the prophecies, and while Nathanael was praying under a fig tree, Philip discovered his retreat. They had often prayed together in this secluded spot, hidden by the foliage. The message, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write," seemed to Nathanael a direct answer to his prayer. But Philip had yet a trembling faith. He added doubtfully, "Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Again, prejudice arose in Nathanael's heart. He exclaimed, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" So here we have an instance in which the words that we say have an influence on others, either for positive or negative. Nathanael had received an answer to his prayer, and he was confident that the Messiah was now to be found. But then when Philip came to him with a trembling faith and spoke words that were not positive that Jesus is the Messiah, but was somewhat doubtful, then that took away the positive attitude of Nathanael and allowed prejudice to spring back up in his heart. So, dear ones, when we're speaking the truth, when we're trying to lead souls to Jesus, let us make sure that our words are not going to encourage doubt in their hearts, but are instead going to encourage them to embrace the truth. And amen, amen. There's a comment in the room that says, "What we say reinforces what we think." And that's true, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. But anyway, Philip came to Nathanael, even with his trembling faith, and says, "We have found the Messiah, this Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And then Nathanael said, "Well, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth, that wicked town? Surely the Messiah wouldn't come from such a wicked place." Continuing. Philip entered into no controversy. He said, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." In surprise, Nathanael exclaimed, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Now Jesus was nowhere near being able to literally see Nathanael. So then how was he able to see him under the fig tree? Comment in the room is a vision, and that's true. I believe it was the Holy Spirit that came to Nathanael and that also came to Jesus and showed him where Nathanael was and gave him an indication of what Nathanael was desiring to know. So when Nathanael came to Jesus, Jesus told him, I've already seen you under the fig tree, and I know that you're an honest seeker for truth. Continuing, it was enough. The divine spirit that had borne witness to Nathanael in his solitary prayer under the fig tree now spoke to him in the words of Jesus. Though in doubt and yielding somewhat to prejudice, Nathanael had come to Christ with an honest desire for truth, and now his desire was met. His faith went beyond that of the one who had brought him to Jesus. He answered and said, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. So the Holy Spirit had been sent to Nathanael in answer to his prayer and had given him the assurance that the Messiah was indeed being manifested at that time. And then when Christ spoke, the Holy Spirit attended the words of Jesus and allowed those words to strike a chord of acceptance in Nathanael's heart. And dear ones, the same thing will happen to each one of us. If we pray to God for knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of His truth, the Holy Spirit will be sent to us. And when we dig into God's Word to want to know and understand what's written there, the Spirit will attend those words and will drive those words into our hearts and give us the understanding. Without the Holy Spirit, we would have no conviction of the truth. We would not understand the truth. But with the Holy Spirit, we will be led and guided into all truth, and we will clearly understand it. So that was enough for Nathanael to believe that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, the King of Israel, the Son of the Most High. Continuing. If Nathanael had trusted to the rabbis for guidance, he would never have found Jesus. It was by seeing and judging for himself that he became a disciple. So the rabbis at the time were the church leaders. They were the ones that were responsible for teaching the law, teaching the truth to all of the Israelites. And it says here that if Nathanael had gone to the rabbis to see if Jesus was the Messiah, he never would have believed that Jesus was the Messiah. Because the rabbis, the church leaders, would have misled him. And it was by seeing and judging for himself that Nathanael became a disciple of Jesus, recognizing him as the Messiah. So then, what does this say for us today? Will we be able to come to a knowledge of the truth, of the present truth for these last days, if we go to our pastors and ministers or our priests for guidance? And the answer is no. They will not lead and guide us into the truth, but will lead and guide us away from the truth. So then the only way that each of us individually are going to come into a knowledge of the present truth for this time is by doing our own searching and study. Coming directly to God without any middlemen in between. Without there being a minister or a pastor or an elder or a priest or a deacon or a teacher or whoever else is claiming to be teaching the truth. We must go directly to God ourselves, pleading with Him to send us His Holy Spirit so that we can then be led and guided into a correct understanding of the truth. But if we don't do our own study, but we rely upon someone else to tell us what a thus saith the Lord means, then we're going to be misled. We're placing our trust in flesh to know a thus saith the Lord. And that's utter foolishness. We need to place our trust in God to understand a thus saith the Lord. So while it's okay to fellowship one with another, and while it's okay to listen to individuals preaching the message that they call truth, we cannot just accept it based on their testimony that it's truth. We must study it for ourselves to know whether it's truth or not. If we trust in what people tell us and accept that as truth, then we're going to be cursed. In Jeremiah 17:5, it says, "Cursed be the man that maketh flesh his arm." We need to make God our strong arm. So we must do our own personal study into God's Word so that we can understand present truth. So if Nathaniel had trusted to the church leaders of his day for guidance, he would have never found Jesus. And the only reason that he did find Jesus and became a follower of his was because he saw and judged for himself that Christ was indeed the Messiah. Continuing. So in the case of many today, whom prejudice withholds from good, how different would be the result if they would come and see? While they trust to the guidance of human authority, none will come to a saving knowledge of the truth. So if we find that we're accepting the truth based on the testimony of someone else, then we will not be saved. We will not come to a saving knowledge of the truth. Because our faith is not based on the truth or on Jesus. It's based on the testimony of what that individual told us. So then our faith is based on that individual telling us the truth, not upon the truth itself. And if our faith is placed on any human being, will we be saved? The answer is no. If our faith is not placed on God, then our worship of Him is in vain. Amen. It's like eating secondhand food. You're not getting the nutrition that your body needs to survive. So in the spiritual sense, we can't trust to the already eaten and digested food of another individual. We must get our nutrition firsthand, directly from God. We must study for ourselves in His Word of Truth, this bread of life. And if we do so, then we are indeed eating the bread of life. We're partaking of our Savior, the Word of Truth. And thus our spiritual life will be nourished and it will come alive and be active because we're connected with the source of life. So that's what Nathanael did. He went directly to the source and he was convicted of the truth. And that's what we must do as well. So while any trust to the guidance of human authority to understand the truth, they will not come to a saving knowledge of the truth. Continuing. Like Nathanael, we need to study God's Word for ourselves and pray for the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit. He who saw Nathanael under the fig tree will see us in the secret place of prayer. Angels from the world of light are near to those who in humility seek for divine guidance. So just as Christ saw Nathanael under the fig tree praying for heavenly wisdom and understanding to comprehend the truth about the Messiah, so Christ will see us pleading in prayer for our understanding to be opened and for us to comprehend present truth. And the Holy Spirit will be sent to us, and angels will come near to us, and thus we'll be able to understand. In James 1 verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him come unto God, who giveth wisdom to all men and women liberally. And upbraideth not. Upbraideth means he doesn't hold back. So claim that promise in James 1:5. When you pray to God before you open up His Word to give you divine enlightenment and understanding, claim that promise. And God will indeed give you all the wisdom that you need to understand what you read in His Word. If you come to Him in humility, seeking for divine guidance. Ask, and it shall be given you. That's what God has promised to do for each one of us individually. If we will just come to Him and not go to any other individual in seeking to understand present truth. Are there any thoughts, any comments, any questions, dear ones, before we continue? And please go ahead. So while they trust to human authority to understand it, thus saith the Lord, not one of those will be saved. We need to study God's Word for ourselves, and we will indeed understand it if we come to God in humility with an honest heart seeking to understand. Continuing. With the calling of John and Andrew and Simeon, of Philip and Nathanael, began the foundation of the Christian church. So when did the Christian church begin? With the calling of John, Andrew, Simon, Philip, and Nathanael. Those five disciples. That was the beginning of the Christian church. Now, was the Jewish church still in existence? The answer is yes. Was the Jewish church abandoned of God at that time, to where it had no possibility of continuing to be the church of God? The answer is no. So then here we see that there was the Jewish church, and now there's the Christian church. Two churches existing at the same time. Which one was the true church? It was the Christian church. And why is that? Because Christ's presence was there. So there were two churches in existence. The one that was huge and large, that had a fantastic missionary outreach program that extended around the world. And then you had this very small church. And the one that was the true church of God was not the large established church. It was the small church. And what made it the true church was because Christ's presence was there. So then the presence of Christ makes your church part of God's true church. And if Christ's presence isn't there, then it doesn't matter how large and well established your church is. It's not part of the true church. Amen. There were only eight, there were only eight people on the ark, a very small group. And the vast majority were outside. But God's true church was within the ark. And they were protected and not destroyed. And that ark of safety is symbolic of Jesus Christ. Those that are connected with Christ are part of His true church. They're part of His body. And they became part of His body by joining Christ. They didn't become part of Christ's body by joining the church. And so many people have got that understanding backwards. They believe that they need to join some church in order to be part of Christ's body and become saved. Whereas the biblical truth is that they need to come directly to Christ themselves and become connected to Him, and then they become part of His body and will obtain salvation. It's the same thing with seeking to understand the truth. Do we go to the church pastor to understand, or do we go to Christ to understand? It's the same principle. So back in the time of Christ, there were two churches in existence. And it was the small church that had Christ in its midst that was the true church of God. And thus you can see that numbers does not indicate a true church of God. Sometimes it's the lack of numbers that will indicate a true Church of God. And one reason is the truth, the present truth, is never popular with worldlings. And so if you see that there's a tremendously large church of a whole bunch of followers, but they're not preaching the truth, they're just there for a big social gathering to have a good time, then you know that that can't possibly be God's church, His true church. So with the calling of these first five disciples began the foundation of the Christian church. Continuing, John directed two of his disciples to Christ. Then one of these, Andrew, found his brother and called him to the Savior. Philip was then called, and he went in search of Nathanael. These examples should teach us the importance of personal effort, of making direct appeals to our kindred, friends, and neighbors. There are those who for a lifetime have professed to be acquainted with Christ, yet who have never made a personal effort to bring even one soul to the Savior. They leave all the work for the minister. He may be well qualified for his calling, but he cannot do that which God has left for the members of the church. So then John, Andrew, Simon, Philip, and Nathanael, when they found the Messiah, had a work to do for him, even though they did not understand every bit of truth connected with the Messiah. They went out and shared the little bit of truth they understood at the time. And the Holy Spirit did wonders with them. And dear ones, if you know one truth out of the thousand or tens of thousands possible truths that you could know, if you know just one, then God has a work for you to do in sharing that one truth with your friends, with your family members, with your neighbors, with anyone who will listen. So if you're ever wondering what type of work God has for you to do, you don't need to wonder anymore. Share the truth that you know. Go to work in being missionaries for Christ. And your words in sharing the truth will have effect. So Andrew went out and found his brother and called him to the Savior. Nathanael became a follower of Christ because of what Simon. Simon became a follower of Christ because of that Andrew did. Philip was called, and then he went out and found his brother Nathanael, and Nathanael became a follower of Christ based on the work that Philip did. So then, dear ones, if you take the truth that you know and go and share it with others, then they too will have the precious chance of becoming a follower of Christ based on the work that you did. And God will indeed bless your efforts. So we need to understand the importance of personally seeking out our family members, our friends, our neighbors, and others in sharing to them through direct personal appeals the truth. And if we don't do that work, if we leave it for others to do, they won't be able to do it. Because they don't have the same kind of influence of friendship that you have with those close to you. And thus they may never be able to reach those that are close to you like you would be able to reach them. So, dear ones, go to work. Share what you know. Become a co-worker with God in seeking to save the lost. And God will bless your efforts. Share the bread of life. Cast it far and wide. And then leave the harvesting of those precious souls with God. And He will do so. Are there any thoughts, any comments, any questions, dear ones, before we continue? Continuing. There are many who need the ministration of loving Christian hearts. Many have gone down to ruin who might have been saved if their neighbors, common men and women, had put forth personal effort for them. Many are waiting to be personally addressed in the very family, the neighborhood, the town where we live. There is work for us to do as missionaries for Christ. If we are Christians, this work will be our delight. So then, if we're not sharing the truth that we know, if we're not making personal efforts to seek and to save the lost, are we Christians? A Christian means one who follows Christ. Are we following Christ if we don't share our faith? And the answer is no. If we were truly followers of Christ, then we would be imitating His example. And Christ's example was to seek and to save the lost, to minister to others for their good and benefit. Amen. We will follow in His footsteps. So then, if we're not sharing our faith with others, but we're keeping it to ourselves, we're hoarding this precious treasure of light, then we're not true followers of Christ. And amen, amen. Another comment in the room says, isn't that how the Pharisees and rulers acted? And that's true. They had the bread of life, the heavenly manna, given to them through their prophets and their teachers. But they hoarded that truth to themselves instead of sharing it out with the Gentiles. They divided themselves away from everyone else who was not an Israelite, and they kept the truth to themselves of the merciful, loving, compassionate, tender-hearted God that they served. And that was one reason why they were set aside. Because when you start to hoard something, when you start to hide the light of truth under a bushel, so that when people look, they don't see the light, they see darkness, then you will be warned, you will be reproved, you will be convicted strongly to share your light, to get it out from under that bushel, to set it instead on a candlestick so that it will give light to everyone who looks. And if you continue to try and keep it silent, to hide it away for whatever fear or reasons you may have, then God will, after a time, set you aside and will choose another to come in and take your place. So this is something serious, dear ones. If you are a Christian, you will do what you can to personally talk to your friends, to your family members, to your neighbors and others about the precious light of truth that God has opened your eyes to see. And this work will be your delight to do, because you're leading precious souls to become personally directed with, or personally connected with Christ, their Savior, their Redeemer. So go to work. Continuing. No sooner is one converted than there is born within him a desire to make known to others what a precious friend he has found in Jesus. Amen. A person who is convinced convinces others. So no sooner is one converted, and I think there's the key word, converted. They're no longer living for self. They're living for Christ. That's a converted heart. So we may know the truth, and we may have known the truth for decades, but that doesn't mean we're converted. Conversion deals with the heart. Knowledge deals with the mind. So you may intellectually understand the truth, but yet you've never been converted to the truth. You've never allowed the truth that you know to actually become a part of your life. But if you are converted to the truth, then there is born within you a desire to share the truth with others. And so if that desire to share the truth is not there, then you need to plead with God on your knees for Him to convert you to the truth, for Him to plant this desire in your hearts to lead others to the Savior before it's too late. So no sooner is one converted than there is planted within them a desire to share the truth with others. Continuing, the saving and sanctifying truth cannot be shut up in his heart. It's like a fire in the bones. You can't keep it contained. It's got to be shared. It's got to be let out. That's what the saving, sanctifying truth does within us. Continuing. All who are consecrated to God will be channels of light, God makes them his agents to communicate to others the riches of his grace. So when God opens our understanding to the truth, and we allow that truth to convert us, it becomes part of us, then God makes us his agents. And as an agent of God, it's our work to communicate to others the riches of his grace. Grace means unmerited favor. So we're to share with others, communicate to them the riches of God's unmerited favor to us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we didn't deserve it, God's grace in sending Jesus down to take our place occurred. That's unmerited favor. So, dear ones, do you realize and comprehend the distinct privilege and honor that God is holding out to you and me? We can be a co-worker with God. We can be his agent that he will unite with us in communicating to others his saving knowledge of truth. We, as sinful as we have been, can connect ourselves directly with the infinite righteous God. I mean, it's wonderful, dear ones, to be a co-worker with God. We don't deserve that grace. We don't deserve that privilege and honor, that favor. We deserve eternal separation from him. But yet when we connect with Christ, then we open the door, or I should say he opens the door, for us to be directly connected through him to the Almighty. And God uses us as his agents, as his ambassadors of his kingdom, to share the truth with others. Continuing, his promise is, I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing, which is Ezekiel 34:26. What are these showers of blessings? Being a co-worker with God in sharing the blessing of truth with others so that they can in turn be blessed. So when are these showers of blessings to fall, dear ones? They were falling in the days of Christ. They were falling all throughout the time of Christ, all the way to today. And they're still falling now. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit in both early and latter rain power, these showers of blessing are connected with the truth being shared by you with others. Will you be that vessel, that empty vessel that Christ can use and God can use and the Holy Spirit can use in blessing others with the showers of grace and truth and light? That's what God is holding out to each one of us. Will you accept it? I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And whom will go for us?" What's the answer? If you decide to, just like Isaiah, "Then said I, here am I, send me." Isaiah 6 verse 8. Dear ones, make a covenant relationship with God based on the truth and your connection with Christ. And say, "Lord, send me. Here am I. I want to work as your agent, as your ambassador, to communicate the truth that I know with others so that they can receive the showers of blessing just like I have, so that they can be saved by connecting themselves directly with the source of life, Jesus Christ." God is waiting, dear ones. Please don't wait too long. Don't risk being set aside and others chosen in your place to do the work that you could have done, but you didn't. Empty yourselves of self and come to Christ. And he will indeed enter into your life, changing your life, converting you totally, and then using you as his missionaries, as his agents and ambassadors to spread the knowledge of the kingdom of heaven with any who will listen. And you will indeed be a blessing. And this is my prayer. I ask that you please bow your heads and your knees for closing prayer. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for thy merciful kindness, for not hoarding the truth, not keeping to yourself your precious Son, but sending him down to us that we may be blessed by his grace and be enlightened by the truth and be converted by the Spirit. I pray, dear Father, that you will help us to recognize what distinct honors and privileges are ours, if we will just grasp them with our whole undivided heart. Help us indeed to not hoard the truth that we know and keep it to ourselves for fear of consequences in sharing it with others. Help us not to cling to our shyness and say it will just kill me if I have to speak to others about the truth I know. But help us to empty ourselves and to be filled with thy Spirit. Allow the truth that we know to convert us allow thy word to be a fire within us that we don't want to put out, but we want to share with others so that they can come to the light of truth and allow this truth as a fire to burn up all error, all custom and tradition, all of selfishness and sin within them. And thus they can become converted and share the truth with others. And this will continue from person to person until the whole world has been lightened with the glory of the truth as it is in Jesus. Thank you for allowing each one of us a part to play in your great work as your agent and ambassador to communicate to others the riches of your grace. Father, empower us. Give us the words of wisdom to share with others. And even if what we share is stammered, even if what we share is not in the most perfect alignment of word by word by word, but is mixed up, we pray for the Holy Spirit to take whatever words that are shared, whatever words that we can speak to the best of our ability, to make the truth understood by the listeners and driven into their hearts with conviction and power. Father, we look to Thee for help. We look to Thee for strength and guidance. And thank You that You will grant it to us when we decide to share the truth with others. It will then be given to us right at that moment. And thank You for preparing hearts to receive the truth before we even share it with them. Thank You so much for this privilege of being co-workers with Thee. And help us not to fail Your trust in us, but to indeed go to work in sharing the little bit of truth or the abundance of truth that we already know. We thank You for being here, for hearing and answering this prayer, and for calling each one of us into the truth. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Dear ones, what a privilege God has given to each one of us, and what an exciting time we live in right now, to the very last days of Earth's history, with the greatest present truth for this generation that has ever been given in the entire history of the world. And it's not by mistake that God has chosen to allow us to have life and to wake up right at this point in Earth's history. It's not by chance. It's by design. And He's allowed each one of us to be alive and to come into the connection with the truth for just such a time as this, because He sees what we connected with Him can do in spreading the truth. So let's go to work. Let's share this truth that God has raised us up right at this time to do for Him. And then see the marvelous results that God will do in increasing the amount of souls that can hear the truth just from our personal efforts. We may share the truth with one person, and then that one person will go out and share it with 1,000. But if we didn't share it with that one, then those 1,000 would not have heard it. So let us go to work. For indeed our light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. And everyone around the world are waiting for the light that we know to reach them. So it's a wonderful time in which we're living right now. Let's go to work. Well, let's go ahead and take a 5-minute break before our next service begins, and then let us come back, just about quarter after, just a little before the quarter after of 11. So we'll see you in 5 minutes, dear ones.